Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary. It's our 1 year anniversary. Yay!
Yay. So, man, this year's been awesome, hasn't it, Ramon?
Yes, it's been really great. And we got a full lineup of guests today. In 2 hours, we're going to try to stick in everybody. We're having a little trouble there, so that's why we started a few minutes late. So we apologize for that.
We'll try to get everybody in still though, and we'll have a good time. We'll have a good time.
Yeah,
we've got a great lineup for you, and we're gonna brought back some of our favorites from the last year, and good folks.
Yeah, do you want to just jump in right into our next guest since we're a little
running? So we're gonna start out with our first guest that we had, which is Mr. James Sullivan.
And actually, the person who's partially responsible for us starting our show, because without his wrench, me and Tom would have never met.
Don't blame me for that.
Oh, yeah, okay. We'll try not to do that. So, James, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, doing great. Hey, on your anniversary, I actually became a father. One of my yaks decided to give birth just about an hour ago.
Oh, sweet.
Congratulations. Yeah. Who did the birthing?
The mother.
No, I mean, nobody was there putting the...
No, they're pretty bulletproof. You know, they can drop a calf in 40 below weather, and they just hit the ground and step up and start nursing. And we had a little bit of problem, though. The bull didn't like it, and he kind of flipped it once, and we had to go in there and kick the bull out of the pen and move him out and lock him up. So it was quite a... I mean, I just got in the door from doing that, you know, make sure that the baby's fine. But she's fine. You know, really cute. It's white and black.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a looks like a yow, like a half yak, half cow, or something.
A yow.
yeah. But
so you got half a prophecy there.
Yeah, we have half. We got to find the all black, the other black and white one to put the full prophecy together.
So, Jaime, what do you see happening for the for next year? What's some of your feelings? Anything?
Well, you know what? I'm really hoping that, and it is happening, that this Occupy Wall Street just goes ballistic, and, you know, we get out of this Orwellian program we're under, and they finally just break the, the international banksters and pull away and just stop getting involved in that system anymore, because that's the only way we're ever going to free up. I mean, we become indentured servants, and we're enslaved through dependency. And we have the possibility here with all the new technologies, the clean energy technology, the counter gravity technology, and these new concepts that are coming out, like Ubuntu, and all these things that Michael Tellinger is working on, and has a major new sovereignty movement program where you can, get rid of all this massive debt that we're underneath and get your house back and own it in a sovereign way. So there's all these new avenues opening up for people, and I'm just hoping people step up and, reclaim the republic and reclaim their sovereignty and put in the tyranny that's happening. And I do see that happening. It's unavoidable.
Hey, James, what do you see for, what's a paradigm going to look like? What are you thinking after we get through all this crap?
Well, you know, it's interesting in my meditations, and, you know, I'm kind of, when I hear that information, I always go, you know, like the blind man said, we will see. But they keep talking about how the scepter's been passed, the planes are now in charge, they have other star nations behind them backing them up, and they are putting an end to those who hijacked the Earth and sent it in the direction it's gone on. And they're working in strange ways that people don't even know about. And, you know, they're doing a lot of batting practice out there with comets and asteroids and moving things around and shielding and things of that nature. So they've been working very hard on our behalf to get us through these times. But, you know, we can't get into that lazy dependence mode. We have to do our part as well. And that's where I see if people do their part and rise up and just say, enough, you know, I'm a sovereign being with God-given rights, and we can all live a life of love and joy and bliss and harmony with each other in the land, a life of total abundance. You know, people rise up and claim that, you know, it can happen very easily. And that's basically what I see happening in the long run. I mean, we're going to have some challenges. We're going to have some major, you know, earth changes and things like that, which they've lessened quite a bit. But, you know, we're going to still have the crazy erratic weather, the crazy storms, earthquake and volcanic activity that's on the increase exponentially. I think that's going to go on throughout 13. And then on the other side, it's going to start mellowing out and planets will come back into balance.
We had quite a ride this last year. Mother Earth sure kicked up quite a storm.
We've got probably a good 3 or 4 inches of snow on the ground. We've had a couple pretty good little dumps, but then it's melting off again. It's been going back, you know, back and forth. But, you know, we usually don't, if it's a really early winter, we'll get hit, you know, around Thanksgiving for snow. And usually by Christmas we'll have some snow, but now I think we're going to have snow all the way through, you know, through November, you know, December, and hopefully it'll melt off early. But I have a feeling that we're going to have a cold spring too.
Yeah, yeah. Mother Earth's definitely been kicking up her heels.
Yeah. They told me in meditation that it was going to cool down. The planet was actually going to cool down first before it heats up. And you know, and I didn't want to hear that. I was, you know, living up here on a mountain top, you know, in the snow all the time. I was really wanting to hear that things are going to warm up and a little bit. But,
well, I would actually, where I'm at, I'd prefer it to heat up. I mean,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Over here this side of the mountain, it's always, I mean, we get a lot of clouds. So 9 months out of the year or so. And it's been worse the last couple of years.
Yeah.
It's gotten to where there's more and more clouds, more and more cloudy days. And
I think that
when it is clear, we get to see the stripes across the sky, you know.
Yeah. Now, have you seen the movie Thrive yet?
Oh, yes, I have. Awesome.
There's two ones. I'm on the DVD that I guess they did a pretty good interview with me on the DVD, but on the one you download on the video, I'm not really in there other than holding this energy bubble. But, you know, I haven't
seen it. That's what you usually do.
Yeah. But I haven't seen it yet. But from what I understand, I haven't seen the DVD one. But what I did see is they did cover my entire message, you know, anyway, which was awesome, and did it even better. So I'm really stoked about that. They didn't pull any punches. They really nailed who is responsible for the mess we're in, and we're also responsible ourselves for allowing it to go that far, you know, and not rising up sooner. So,
yeah.
So it's a combination of things, but boy, it's an amazing, amazing movie with some real good, you know, solutions.
James, you think this has all been part of a big elaborate plan to, I mean, it had to go this deep and this dark for everybody to wake up?
You know, that's an interesting concept, because I've heard different stories, like, you know, people like Hitler and these other people had to play their parts. If you don't have the negative or the dark you know, you wouldn't have any movement. You'd have, you know, total complacency, everybody just laying around, no evolution. You know, there's that one side of the thing, but I think it's time to evolve beyond that and just start living according to universal law and live in harmony with each other and the planet. I just think the days of tyranny are done. The days of aggression and againstness are pretty much coming to a close, and they're at their apex of their fall right now. They're already falling. But I think people are just, the entire planet collectively is just fed up with it and doesn't want to participate or support it anymore.
Do you think that this year coming up, we will make world contact? Of course, there's been a lot of people made personal contact.
You know, it's definitely going in that direction. Did you see the footage of Japan?
No.
I did.
Do you know where it was in Japan?
I didn't read the particulars on it, but I did see the footage, and it's very good, and whole fleets of ships have come over, you know, are over Japan, being seen over Japan, and I know you and Khan and a lot of other people we've been working with doing the live stream healing meditations for Japan and inviting the ultra-dimensionals and off-worlders to help out. Seems to be manifesting.
We don't shoot at them either, James.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't. I think we have. I just can't even go there. I just think we're governed by narcissistic morons that have no common sense whatsoever. Because, you know, in the interest of national security, you don't shoot at beings that are 1,000 years ahead of you in evolution and technology. That is just, there's no military intelligence in that whatsoever.
Right.
So I think, you know, the program we have now is try to shoot them down, steal their technology, and back engineer for the war machine is about as barbaric and ignorant as you can get. You know, it is, you know, I think even the monkeys are laughing at that one. You know, so.
Yeah. All 100 of them, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of like punching the guy with the gun in his hand. But luckily for us, that they're very peaceful and passive.
Yeah,
because says a lot. Because
yeah, they just take the high road. You know, we've fired everything we've had at them, and they just sit there and go, "Are you done? Are you done?" You know, it's like. You know, but apparently we don't, you know, I think there are some people, though, a lot of people, you know, like Bob Dean and people like that have figured it out, and their influence is influencing others on the inside. And I know Air Force base commanders and other people that are figuring it out, and they're just saying, you know, we're not even going to scramble anything anymore because it's a waste of gas, and it's really a bad move on our part, and we need to start, you know, figuring out a different way, you know. But they'll send a jet up to observe to see what's going on, but they won't vector in on it or arm the weapons. You know, some of them are taking that approach now.
Yeah.
I always ask my students, like, have you ever seen? And so many of them say, yeah, when I was a kid, you know. So it's always shocking.
Yeah, I think it's interesting here we have – you know, there's so many people, thousands of witnesses. I was on a show last night talking about it, and you know, it's interesting. I listened to, it's really weird. My computer like started by itself, and
oh, nice.
it played the old Art Bell interview. I didn't even know it was on my computer.
What?
On Coast to Coast, it was really weird, and it was very. And I was kind of down. I go, God, I could do more. You know, I wish I could do more to get people to realize that there are these extremely benevolent beings waiting to assist us. And all we have to do is initiate it and ask for it, you know, individually and as a collective. And the more we do, the more they can come in and assist us. And I, you know, I should be doing more to get that out. And then all of a sudden it pops on when we did the intention experiment, you know, on Coast to Coast. And I was just...
That was them, you know.
Yeah, it was like they're going, stop beating yourself up, you know, like you, you had an intention experiment done over coast to coast, which reached millions of people. And, you know, that alone, you know, is far beyond what they even expected. So it made me feel a little better.
So, yeah. So, Dan, go off subject here just a second. What do you think about the false flag invasion stuff? You think there's the Project Bluebeam or the holograms or anything like that? You think that's coming up?
You know, I would be really surprised if they played that card, because so many people know about it, and I think the more benevolent ones would put an end to that. So you never know. I never want to underestimate the ignorance of these guys and the arrogance, because they do stuff. You know, I was watching Gerald Celente. I've had him on the show before, and you know, the banksters came in and they just closed down and took everybody's money out of this one bank and stole their gold, their money, everything, and said, "Sayonara, we're closing shop." I mean, it was just pure theft. It was money that they had no right to. You know, it was, yeah. it wasn't some future or things like that. It was money that they had no right to. And, you know, when they start doing things like that, blatant theft, and then the guy that was responsible for it ends up, you know, going to over, now he's going to go over and be one of, you know, Obama's number one people. You know, you go, God, what are these people thinking? Do they really think that the American people are that ignorant that they're just going to do this in their face, rip them off, and then think they can hold these positions of authority, very high positions? It's just beyond me.
You know, right now, the people in the streets, the average Joe in the street, knows it's time for change.
And oh, yeah.
That it's time to make it happen. And I mean, that's what we're seeing all over the world, is people on the street. There, maybe it's that 100th monkey jumping out there and having an effect. You know, the consciousness that we have to change.
Yeah. That's, did you see the Occupy Wall Street? I guess they came in with the brute squad, you know, and just, you know, kicked everybody out at 2 o'clock in the morning and just made this major, major push on everybody. And then, you know, the next day everybody pushed back and they just came out in multitudes and took over the streets again. And then they brought their, I guess they were given, I don't know how many millions of dollars to beef up the police squad there so they could just kick everybody out and again. And I saw them, they gave them all these little scooters. They hired all these young rookies. I don't know who these guys are. And they gave them a helmet and scooters. And then they just told them to go en masse with all their scooters and drive down the road and kick everybody out. And, you know, they just ran into a wall and then they all had to turn around and back their scooters out and leave. But I go, boy, you know, some boys in scooters, that was quite an investment, you know, of good taxpayers' money, you know, like. But, you know, I see that. I'm just really glad that the people are not buckling under and that they are standing tall and standing up, you know, for their rights. And I'm really hoping that this goes in a direction where they you know, don't want to be the, you know, the victim and the dependent, but actually are really pushing towards becoming a sovereign being and getting rid of the enslavement through dependency program.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, James, we hate to really cut this short, but we have several others coming on tonight for
great.
Our anniversary show. So,
and actually, everybody you've interviewed, we got Crystal Clark coming up next.
Nice. Hey, well, give you guys a virtual cigar, and I've got to run out and take care of my little baby. Yak baby out there and see how that's right. Going on.
Okay, well, congratulations, Papa.
All right, take care.
All right, thanks, James.
Thank you, James.
Okay, well, we're going to give Crystal a call now. And Crystal, if you're listening, you can answer this phone.
And make sure it's on.
Oh, we'll see. So, yeah, James is great. He's been on the show a couple times in the last.
This is Crystal.
Hi, Crystal.
Good morning, Crystal.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Doing great. Yeah. Doing great. It's so good to hear your voice. Crystal Clark.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you guys.
Crystal Clark, as many of you have, you know, was on our show four times. And yeah, she's just near and dear to both Ramon and mine's heart.
Did you finish the book yet?
I did.
No, not you.
Oh.
Her, did Crystal finish the book?
Oh, that book. Yeah, how is it, Crystal?
That's all we want to talk about. We just want to harass you for the 30 minutes we have you on.
I had that cliffhanger there at the end of the second book, and I'm waiting patiently.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've had it about three quarters of the way done for a while, and I stopped writing it because I felt like something was missing. And I couldn't really explain it. I didn't know what it was, but I thought, well, I'll know when I come across it. And then a few days ago, I was talking to a friend of mine, and we were just talking about just random things, and he said something, and the light went on, and I thought, oh, that's it. So actually, now I'm really excited to finish it. It's actually almost been done for a long time, but there was just that one thing that I just, you know, wasn't there, but I found it, so that's exciting.
Nice. So what's been going on with you for the last, 3 months, 4 months since we talked?
Well, let's see. I did a show with James Gilliland, and I think you guys probably helped set that up. So thank you for that. That was very fun. And it's just really been nice to just kind of hang out with my family because I wrote the second book really fast. It's still a pretty large book, and I wrote it in about 6 or 7 months.
Wow.
And when I write, yeah, I know. And when I write like that, it's just nonstop because it pours out, and so you don't really get to spend a lot of time with your family. So it's been nice just to just be for a while, you know.
Nice.
And I'm watching what's happening around the world with all of these protests, which is very, very exciting. So, yeah. And I've been meeting some really wonderful people behind the scenes and kind of hanging out with those people, getting to know them and their own stories a little bit better. And there's a lot of really exciting stuff going on.
Yeah. So what do you think about this, all the new, or we'll call them remembrances of technology that's happening right now? We've got people that are applying the sacred science to free energy stuff, and it's just amazing what I'm seeing. Like Ralph Ring, who we had on this year, him and
Jason Verbelli,
Jason Verbelli stuff.
Yeah,
we've got people that are just really. I just feel like something's about to open up real soon.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's just time. You know, first of all, as long as people know that there are other options, which I think is really important. Once you know that there are other options like free energy, what's really been happening on this planet for the last 100 years or so really comes into focus, because it just doesn't make sense that we wouldn't go down that path.
Right.
It has to do with everything. I mean, these technologies are also healing technologies. We could eliminate disease. We could, I'm sure you've heard people talk about how if we could get our transportation to run on free energy, we could eliminate all of these roads and allow nature to return a little bit more, which is important, a more natural kind of society, which is good because... the way that we're building now doesn't make sense. The type of materials we're using are very toxic. The industrial era has been very, very bad for things like that. And we know that large corporations, through their excessive greed, have carried that forward at a very accelerated pace in terms of toxifying the environment. And that's the other thing about these technologies. It's not just the free energy, and it's not just the healing for people, but also the planet. You know, we can handle the radiation that's coming out. We can handle what happened in the Gulf of Mexico. I mean, there's nothing that we can't handle if this technology gets out, and that's why it's really so important.
Yeah. What was it, the antenna relay, so to say, that John Hutchinson put out there right after the earthquake in Japan and everything about the resonance and changing the, helping to change the field around Japan with the what was it, the frequencies that he was broadcasting.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how many did it. There was a recent report, I think it was put out a couple of days ago, about how much radiation is in the rain here on the West Coast, and it's still very, very high, so we have a lot of work to do. But that's the really important thing, is that people, you know, fear is very paralyzing, and I think that a lot of people, it's difficult to engage them in conversation about the types of problems that we have, because in their mind, they immediately associate that with, but there's nothing I can do about it. And that's not true. That has never been true. And I think, you know, that's another really important part of the equation, is getting people to understand not only are there other choices, but these choices will blow people's minds with what they can do. And I think that's what's really exciting about it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a story I heard, and I'm trying to remember who is the person. Wayne Dyer told this story, and actually he had a kid come up on stage and everything. And this young kid, he was 9 years old at the time, or maybe younger, and he was able to collect $2,000 to build a well for a town in Africa. He had become pen pals with one kid there, and then he got his parents to also bring the kid over, because the kid had just gotten abducted into the military in the country in Africa. I forgot which country it was. And so he was able to have his parents adopt him as well. And he's been raising money up for Africa, so to build wells in all these different little towns. So here you have a 9-year-old boy who's done more effect on the world than not everybody, but most people that I know. And it's just amazing. This is a 9-year-old boy who supposedly, quote unquote, has no power. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then again, you look at somebody like Gandhi, you know, bad teeth, broken glasses, and no shoes. And look what he did.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Any one of us can do it. Any one of us can do that.
Yeah, Tom. Get up off your butt. Come on, Tom.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I mean, people are not living their life as self-centered individuals anymore, because they understand that when there are times in our lives when we need help, and it's really moving when we get it. And once you understand that, you know that there are other people in need. And it, you know, I don't really like the term collective per se, because I understand why it has negative, you know, connotations to it in terms of a hive mind. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a global community that understands that we are all in this together, and that it doesn't make sense. If you see somebody suffering and you can do something about it, why wouldn't you?
Exactly.
And I think, it's really great that children especially are not just thinking that the only thing that I need to concern myself with is, am I going to school with the latest cell phone and MP3 player? I mean, you have even children now that understand there are people suffering. I have it pretty good, and I have the ability to share what I have.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen that from my children at preschool here. It's, you know, sometimes I hear, oh, we got to teach the children. I'm like, no. I think the children need to start teaching us. And I know I've repeated this on the show, and I'm not going to get tired of repeating this, because I've seen kids, the act of kindness, you know, one little kid falls down, a couple other kids go and pick them up. The 3-year-old child's having a problem going down the slide. The 5-year-old kid comes up and helps him. And no one is telling him or telling them, you know, you have to do this or you have to do that. They're doing this naturally. So what happened to us as adults? That means that we were like that as kids, and we just let the system beat it out of us. Because, I mean, it's our fault for letting them do it to us.
The kids today that are coming in are absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. There are some of the intelligence. Like, we met this young girl at the conference at East City last year. 12 years old, is that right, Ramon?
Yeah.
Well, 12 years old. And this girl has the consciousness of higher than most 50-year-olds I know. I mean, it just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, she is so awakened. I won't mention her name, but I want to really quickly give out the number. The toll-free number is 888-429-5471. And also, you can call any of the other lines. And if you have to head out to the store or go somewhere, you can dial in and listen to 760-569-7676. And the access code is 192919. And that's all on the BBS. So you can call and ask Crystal a question. Harass her about the book.
you can, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so, I mean, you guys can call in anytime, so please feel free to call. I forgot to mention that before with James. Crystal,
congratulations, you guys. I didn't get a chance to say that. How exciting, 1 year.
Yeah, I know. We can't believe it. It's
1 year of putting up with Tom.
Can you imagine having to sit, be a sane person, and have to talk to this guy all day long?
I remember she's done 4 interviews with me, and she still accepts my emails when I said. Oh, really quick.
Oh, you guys are great.
Since I got Crystal here, it might be too soon, but I'm expecting around sometime in January to release my sci-fi novel that I wrote. So everybody knows out there. I won't go into too much detail, but hopefully I'm shooting for January. So, of course, Crystal.
Are you going to share the title?
Oh, yeah. No, what's the point? No, it's called Scratching the Cosmic Consciousness.
Ooh.
Yeah, so.
How exciting.
I'll make sure I send you a copy. And also, a quick thank you to Cynthia. Who's Cynthia? Kathy, for helping me out with that. But
who we got hooked up to through Crystal.
Yes.
Yes, Kathy is wonderful. And for people listening, Kathy is the one who edits our books for us. And she is an angel. She's an absolute angel. Wonderful, wonderful woman. So if you're listening, Kathy, we love you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
So Crystal, will you look into your crystal ball for us and... Crystal. Anyway, would you look into what do you see coming up for? Do you have any kind of idea of how you see this unfolding?
You know, for the first time in my life, I don't know. You know, usually you have a sense of things, of how you see things turning out, but I think that, you know, for a long time, I think a lot of us knew the fork in the road was coming. And I think we're there. And the energy is just, it's pulling both ways. It's really hard to say. I really don't know how it's going to come out. I know that I'm very hopeful. I think we're seeing a lot of really good things happening. And I don't know. And you know what I think is stranger about it is that I'm comfortable with not knowing it, because I think anything can happen. And there's something exciting about that.
Yeah. Boy, yeah. This last year has been quite the roller coaster energetically. The intensity of the energy at times has been absolutely amazing for me anyways. Some of it disturbing.
Yeah.
More
of that's coming. That's one projection I can make with certainty is that, you know, the width and the depth and the breadth of the deceit that humanity has been experiencing the last 100 or so years, we really haven't begun to really scratch the surface of that, and it's going to start coming out more and more and more, and it's going to be harder and harder to deal with. And I think that's, if I could offer any advice over the next year, don't be afraid to grow and let go. Because there are things, people are going to discover that there are things that they put so much of their faith in, things and people and ideas, because a lot of it was a sham. And that's always hard, right? When you were so sure about something and you shared it with a lot of people, and you thought for sure you just had it, and then you find out, oh. And just don't be afraid to let go. If you discover that something wasn't really what you thought it was, no matter how painful it is, let it go in favor of something better.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, we always try to funnel down what we want instead of just letting go and opening up, because sometimes, you want, so for example, I want this type of gift, but then I want to also design the type of package that it comes in and the direction the package comes in, and it doesn't work that way. You know, you might be looking up, waiting for it, and it's right at your feet. And then you're just going to walk over and step on it, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Ramon, or I think Tom has used that phrase a couple of times, let go and let God. And Edgar Yep. Cayce used to say, God answers all prayers, but don't tell him how to do it. So.
Yeah, the way things manifest, it's kind of circuitous at times. It you just
what's that word?
Circuitous.
It's the first time I ever heard that word. This is coming from the English teacher.
In other words, it goes around in circles, and it's bizarre the route it takes to manifest things. So you know, a lot of people will put something out to the universe and they'll start going towards it, but it doesn't seem like it seems like they're going just the opposite direction, but universe is taking you that direction, but it sure doesn't look like it at the time. You know, you had to go here to do a certain thing or meet a certain person, blah blah blah, you know. It's kind of definitely bizarre the way it comes through.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, there are a lot of times when, because, you know, we come from a culture where instant gratification is pushed from a very young age, and there are always things happening behind the scenes and currents and rivers that are below the ground that we can't see, but they're moving. And so it does take time sometimes before we really understand how the ripples really did travel, how far out they went, and how much change it made. So sometimes it can be a little discouraging in the beginning because we think, well, if I do this, I should immediately see this happen, right? But
right.
Sometimes it just takes time.
Exactly, exactly.
And I think a lot of that's happening now, too.
You just brought something up. Yesterday, Tom was telling me that I listened to a show with Zany Mystic, which he's also on BBS, right before James' show. And the astrologer, what was his name? Do you remember, Tom?
Oh, geez, I don't.
Anyway, you're saying December 24th was supposedly one of the best days to put out your intentions.
Yeah.
So what was the reason?
New moon, and there's nothing that goes in retrograde for over a month afterwards. So everything's moving forward, so it's the perfect time to put that intention out there, astrologically wise. So, and I know that there's definitely something to astrology. So, I suppose that would be a date that some people may want to mark on the calendar.
Yeah. Yeah. We definitely have that one, Mark.
So Chris, we want to thank you so much for popping in
and for supporting us so much.
Yeah. We just love you. And
yeah,
oh,
you're one of our favorite cheerleaders.
Yeah, there you go.
Yay!
where can people get a hold of you at, Crystal?
Oh, they can reach me on my website. It's www.thesolsociety.com, and all of the information as far as shows, past and future shows that I've done or I'm doing, and the books that I'm working on, all the information is there, along with some other hopefully useful information.
Yeah, read her blog. She's got an awesome blog. So, damn, this has been great.
we got to get you back on the show for next year. So,
yeah. Well,
now, you guys know, anytime you want, you just let me know.
The books are, so you're back on the third book, and I'll be waiting patiently.
I'm getting impatient.
I'm actually doing it. I'm actually doing another show with Mel over at Veritas next week, too. So that should be
Nice.
Cool. Nice.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. And so you guys have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving, too.
Yeah, I'll be eating chicken instead.
Will you?
Yeah, but I'm celebrating on Thursday. Crystal, thank you so much.
You guys are welcome. I love you both very much. I'm very proud of you. You're doing a wonderful job. Tell Elizabeth, is it Elizabeth? Did I get a name right? I'm bad with names.
It is Elizabeth.
Okay, tell Elizabeth hello for me. I'm very happy for you, and congratulations. You guys are wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much. She's sitting right here. Okay. Heard it.
Thank you, Crystal.
Oh, you're welcome. Keep him in line.
Oh, geez.
Actually,
next guest, please.
We're trying to reach Brooks, and we can't reach Brooks, so we're going to hold on to you, Crystal.
Okay. All right, we can do that.
We'll harass you more about why I don't have the book in my hand. No, seriously.
So I heard during the show that you guys did with Mel that you really enjoyed the second book. I'm glad, because I'm really bad at promoting it. I just am, because I'm always doing other stuff. But I have to say that of the two books, that is my favorite. It was so much fun to write. And I wanted to ask you, what did you like about it? What was your favorite part?
Well, let's start off with how the book, and I hate to use this word, but I kind of became attached to the characters, and there were parts that without giving the book away, but certain things happened to certain characters really upset me, and which was amazing, because that means that the writer did such a great job. Someone who claims to quote unquote not be a writer, but it's so good at it, her name will go unmentioned. go ahead.
Okay.
No, I was just saying how I really got attached. But the boy, I forgot his name, Odin, when he comes back, that part, that's my favorite part. That whole thing
that
happens. Yeah. Go ahead, Tom. I'm sorry.
I like the overlay, the way you put across certain messages and teaching through the fiction. I just absolutely love that. I saw the overlay on our world in a lot of places. And, that kind of thing strikes home to me.
I'm glad you liked it. And it was so funny, too. I remember the first time we talked about it, you said, oh, yeah, I'm interested to see what happens to Tom. I thought, oh, that's right. Because for people who don't know, one of the characters, his name is Tom. I thought that was really funny. So,
well, I want to see.
You guys enjoyed it.
I want to see what happens to Tom in the third book.
I tell you, because like I said, I've had a lot of it written for a while. That's a neat part. You'll like that, because it's very, very interesting, because he comes back as a walk-in, which is very different. So that part was a lot of fun to write. You'll like that. It was neat. So what do you guys have planned for next year? What's your do you guys have a plan? Are you just kind of rolling with the universal flow, or do you have a direction? Or
we're going to Damon Her end of March or end of May? Excuse me.
Stop saying March, May.
Oh, okay.
Oh, gosh, you guys are so funny. So when are you really going? Is it May?
Yeah, end of May,
beginning of June.
Okay.
Yeah, that's gonna be a blast. I can't wait.
Yeah. Now, are you going to film some stuff for us so that you can come back and show us?
Of course. Video camera will be with me at all times. So, awesome. Yeah, I will definitely be posting something on that. So, I'll probably even take a picture of Ramon's ugly mug just for what it shits and giggles something.
Hey,
it looks like we have gotten through to, or I guess I'm getting through to Brooks. Is that right?
Yeah. So we're gonna try a call Brooks.
Crystal, are you familiar with Brooks Agnew?
I am. I've listened to some of his shows. I think his story of what happened to him when he was out at ESETI is very fascinating. That's really neat. I like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's he was actually very integral in getting us together also, Ramon.
Yes.
Helping us get set up with BBS.
Yeah, and and also a thank you to Don and Seth for supporting us. And, you know, Don and Seth collect our they accept cans when we don't have enough money for the – no, just kidding.
Oh, and bad humor.
Yeah. Okay, we had Brooks, but now I can't – I don't see him.
That was a call failed. He's not online.
So.
Uh-oh.
I can't talk and do this computer thing at the same time.
I thought you were a professional, Tom. What happened?
I gave that up a while back.
Yeah, okay. Enough with the joke, and let's get serious, Crystal.
Okay.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, Brooks back on. don't forget that you guys can give us a call. Give us a call at 530-413-4520 or 888-429-5471.
Okay, so did you guys lose Brooks or?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh,
yay. Okay, hi, Brooks. They were keeping me over because they weren't sure if you were going to make it on.
Yeah. I'm just having trouble with my main computer logging on, but my iPad's logged on, so I'm good to go.
iPads. Awesome. There's an interesting technology.
So.
Okay, well, listen, I'm not going to hog Brooks' time. I'm going to let you guys go. And I just want to tell you one more time, I'm very proud of you. You guys are awesome, and I love you dearly, and good luck for the next year.
Thank you, Crystal. We love you,
okay,
too.
Okay, good night, you guys.
Good night.
Okay,
bye-bye. Hey, Brooks, welcome to the show. So,
hey, how you doing? Yay. Happy first-year anniversary.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much because you were very important in helping us put this show together. We all started listening to Brooke's show, so it's funny how.
Yep.
Right now, I think so far two of your listeners have started off as listeners and now have their own shows. Three, actually, me, Tom, and then I think Mark from Ohio.
That is so awesome.
Yeah. So, Brooks, the question we've been asking is, what do you see happening for the next year?
It's global warming. We're all going to die.
Oh, geez.
No, I'm kidding. Wow. Where do we start? In alphabetical order. Let's see. First of all, I think we're going to continue to see wonderful, chaotic political upheaval. I think it's what makes, planet Earth so interesting. What we saw start last November with the Egyptians really taking to the streets and seizing control of their government, or at least not seizing control, but really, upsetting the control of their government. It still isn't settled. It started a wave around the world, which, it's just now really being heard in the United States. It hasn't really got its legs. It hasn't really got a focused message yet, but it will. And, this is the hardest thing to do, is to get people to care, to come out. Once you wake them up, it's like, oh, wow, I'm awake. Look what's happening around me. And then the next thing is to get them to take some kind of action. And that's what's happening. And honestly, I really think it's because of radio programs like ours, because this was not done by newspapers.
yeah, taking to the streets and you know beating a drum. It was us.
Yeah. And I mean, these major networks, not major networks, like Facebook and YouTube and shows like ours, yeah, have really, I mean, there's so many shows now that it's hard for me to keep up who to listen to.
Well, that's so, it. I mean, that's really what you happen. In the past, we had, you know, ABC, NBC, CNN, you know, Fox, maybe program listen to, but over the years that's become so much propaganda. We just realize that there's no substance at all. It's just like a dinner bell. But the internet has really been a theater whereby blogs and different news broadcasts like yours and ours get to start waking up and realizing that, hey, I can participate in this.
Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, just the great works so many of our guests and people that we want on the show as well are doing, is it's really helping to wake things up.
But well, it's spreading the knowledge that people have learned and gained and bringing things to people's attention that they were before ignorant of or unaware of. I mean, we're creating a much smarter population by having this sort of thing that's interesting. I mean, this stuff is interesting. I mean, it keeps...
I could do more. Yeah, absolutely. And also, you know, in the last 12 months, we've been instrumental, at least in letting people know that we're not only not alone in this universe, but we're probably not alone on this world.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so true. And I mean, even with the other species, the other sentient species like dolphins, I mean, just because, quote unquote, they don't have technology, which I think they have technology that we just don't understand. But, I mean, dolphins and whales, and you've spent time with whales, right? Or was it dolphins, Brooks?
Well, maybe they've transcended above it, you know, from a world where they already had all that technology and they realized that you'll live a lot longer, you'll have a much, much more joy and much more fulfillment in your existence if you just fly and love and enjoy the world.
Yeah. So really briefly, what's you're coming on after us. So what's on the show? Can we get a quick glimpse? Anything? Hello?
Yeah, tonight is I've really been interested in the theology of the Occupy movement. Are you still there?
We're still here.
Okay. All right. I've been fascinated by the sociology of the movement. At first, it was kind of scattered and kind of not very well represented by the press. And we thought, oh, it's going to, as soon as it gets cold outside, people will give up and go away. It will maybe go to 5 or 6 cities, and then people will get tired and go home because Christmas shopping is coming up. But it really didn't. And it's... Well, it's one of those kind of halfway angry, kind of halfway frustrated, maybe non-focused, but it is an undeniable energy of humanity. Here's what I picked up on. Know that about a year ago I published the book, The Future, The Physics of the Soul and Time Travel. Look, I talk, dream about the future, and then listen for other things in the universe that would be. That's
hello?
What they're doing. They're putting out in the.
Yeah.
Are you guys there?
You're breaking up really bad on my end.
Yeah, on my end too.
Well, I have a really good
That's live connection. Internet radio.
Yeah, I know. It's one of the things we love about this business. we can get another connection. Sometimes another Skype connection will have a better, less packet loss than the last one. You want to try it again?
Well, it kind of cleared up now, and we only have enough time for about 5 more minutes for you.
Okay, that's no problem, because now I'm standing on one hand, and I have my left hand on my right ear, so it seems to be working.
All right, there we go.
Oh, you're using your transducer.
There you go.
Anyway, I see that this Occupy movement has put their dream out in the future, and they're actually believing that we as a society can walk away from Armageddon.
Absolutely.
And I believe that. I believe that.
I agree. Hear, hear.
We're watching it happen.
Yeah.
I'm in constant awe at the change and how fast it's happening.
Well, we're actually going to have one of the Occupy spokesmen from Occupy Detroit on our program tonight.
Nice.
Oh, great.
Nice.
That's really great to hear. I'll make sure I tune in, which would be easy.
So where do you think we are with the 100th monkey as far as unity consciousness is concerned?
I think we're almost there. I can see that the resonance is starting to build momentum. The steel beam is beginning to wobble like a noodle in space. And it doesn't take much energy. It only takes the right energy at exactly the right moment over and over again. And I see it happening.
I see this whole Occupy thing as being an example of the 100th monkey effect right there. I mean, because it's spread worldwide now. And everybody, the common Joe in the street, it knows it's time to change.
Yes. Did you guys realize when you started your program a year ago that you were going to cause global revolution?
Well, if we had anything to do with it, then, you know, oh well. That's our burden to bear.
No truer, more noble words could have been spoken.
I mean, that meditation that happened 11/11/11, and you know, some of the thing people start nitpicking at the little things, and I always say, look at the bigger picture, look at what's happening. Okay, fine. Some people say, you know, the Occupy movements and City Hall have no organization, but that's the beginning of a platform. Exactly. If you think they have no organization, why don't you go down there? And
create it.
Exactly. Stop giving the dirty plate to someone else to wash. Wash it.
There you go.
Well, that's what I see happening. You know, when the civil rights movement started in 1964, no one had any idea that the Civil Rights Act of 1965 would be passed.
Right.
But it was that energy that made it happen.
Right.
Yep. And I mean, look how they did it. There's so many examples around the world. Mandela, it's like we got a lot of little examples how to do it on a global scale. So we had, you know, Martin Luther King, Mandela, Mahatma Gandhi, and so many others throughout history that were the example how to do it nonviolently and change. Yeah.
Well, the one thing that I hope is that they stay focused on the ideals that were established by the Constitution. It's a good document. It's a good way to run a country. It's a good way to run a planet. We have strayed from that, and we have allowed a few people to write their own regulations and their own laws that have allowed them personally in small numbers to become literally trillionaires at the expense of the world. That's what we need to. That's what we need to reverse.
Yeah.
Yes. Agreed. Brooks, thank you so much. The appreciation just can't be enough. I mean, even just from your show alone, forget about our show. Just
listening to your shows now and those early days when I first started listening, what was that, 2007?
Yeah, I think I started in 2005, but nobody was listening.
No, I'm talking about when I started listening that I discovered you.
Well, it's just, you know, it was just a matter of time before what would resonate with the message I was putting out in 2007 vibrated with something happening in New York. And there was Ramon. And now Ramon's in Tokyo or in Japan, and it's beginning to, you know, vibrate and continue to vibrate there because you're resonating. And I guess you always did, but, you know, getting the sound to reach a pitch or at least a volume where everyone can hear it, that's really the challenge. You just have to stick with it. And you guys have done it for 12 months. You've been out there. Look at the audience. Look at the effect you've had. It's wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, yeah. You know, yeah, we're not the only ones, though. So it's definitely a group effort.
Yeah. I mean, you're a big part of it. James, Mel, the guys from Red Ice, so many shows, so many different people.
You know, since we started, I've just been amazed at how many new shows come on a weekly basis.
It's good.
It's absolutely amazing, and that's awesome. People getting their voices out there.
Not only that, that means that we're not forced to listen to a Papagram. What is it? I can't even pronounce it. Papagram. Oh, God, never mind. You know what
propaganda.
I mean. Yeah. Thank you, TV.
Yeah. Who's it? Robert Downey Jr. used to say, "Pablum puking," you know, media out there just feeding us the propaganda line of the state over and over again.
Yeah. So, Gabe Brooks, where can people get a hold of you?
Well, the best place is xsquaredradio.com. Oh, you guys should know that iPower, which is one of the large server organizations on the West Coast, actually shut X Squared Radio down last week for having excess traffic.
Really?
Nice.
Yes. And so we had to move to a virtual private server. And fortunately, Friday night, the show was back up and running. So we never missed a lick. And we're continuing to grow.
Nice. Nice.
Congrats. Nice.
Congratulations.
That's great.
All right.
So make sure you listen in to Brooks. He'll be coming on after us.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Congratulations. Happy birthday.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. Well, we're going to be grabbing in Miss Anelia Benz next. Ready for her, Ramon?
Yes.
So,
see if she's ready for us.
We had Anelia on, what was it, a couple months ago?
And so you can listen to the archives.
Are you there, Anelia?
Hey.
Well, hello, how are you?
Buenas tardes. Good afternoon. Hello? We're getting like an echo in the background.
An echo? Oh, hold on.
No, not from you, from our show. I'm listening to our show again.
Oh, I'm not getting it, so.
Okay, let me just turn down the...
In your head, Ramon.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
We hear you.
Yeah.
How are you, Anelia? Can you hear me?
I can hear, but I think there's like a delay or something. It's getting very confusing.
Yeah, you hear, right?
Oh, I know what's happening. Yeah.
Oh, do you have the show on?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Okay.
Hold on, wait. Okay, can you hear me properly now?
Yes.
Cool. That was very confusing. I thought you were coming through Skype.
Oh, boy.
Well, I can hear you perfectly now, so this is good.
So how are you, Anelia?
Doing great, thank you. Thank you. Congratulations on your first year. It's awesome, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Leave at times. Yeah, but a lot of so much has happened in the last year as far as people growing, the growth in the world. It's been absolutely amazing to watch.
Yes, it has. It's totally fantastic.
What do you see happening in the next year?
The next year, I think it's an acceleration of everything that we've seen in 2011. The shift already happened, I believe, in this year, and we're just moving into it full speed ahead. But at the same time, it has to be baby steps, because if you change the paradigm from one day to the next, you probably lose most of the population, because humans cannot take that type of change so quickly without dying or getting destroyed, like at a mental level. So yeah, baby steps. But we're there, you know, we're doing good.
Yeah, I think it's definitely progressing quite nicely.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, Inelia, I actually have a question from you, from one of our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Please tell us about chemtrails. Do they originate from off-planet, or is this human in origin? And how can we, as the bugs on the ground being sprayed, best affect this and bring it to an end?
Mm.
Also, have you read Isabel Allende?
Yes.
Who's a niece of Salvador Allende.
Yes, yes. Yeah, she's a Chilean writer. She's very good. One of my favorite writers, actually. With regards to the chemtrails, they're totally human. When we did some work with the chemtrails with Lucia Renee, and we looked at them and we looked at their origination and everything, and it was very human. It's all chemicals that will make people sick, that will make people unable to have children, and also toxifies the land and makes it very flammable as well. And like if you're growing your vegetables outside, you'll have problems with your crops and everything as well because of the aluminium in it. And what can we do? There's, when I look at it, there's a huge resistance to ending it. And that's part also from the collective, because I believe that nothing can happen to us at a physical level or emotional level or any level, mental, psychic, or any type of level, without our agreement, whether it's by not taking a stand or by simply thinking that there's nothing we can do about it. If we think and somebody says, you can't do anything about this, and we believe them, then we are kind of agreeing with that, so we can't. What I do personally when I look at a chemtrail, I will focus my intention of becoming a positive thing somehow, but it's I can see that more and more information now is coming out. They're not longer denying the fact that there's chemtrails. They're admitting it in different tiny little pieces here and there and trying to hide it. But a year ago it used to be they don't exist, right?
Yeah.
So there's a huge difference, and as the people become educated about it, just like the financial system, and they come out into the streets and saying, no more, we don't agree with this, the same thing's going to happen with regards to the chemtrails, I believe.
I think it's the 100th monkey effect taking place amongst that area also.
Yes,
where
yes.
As, you know, as the consciousness raises and people become aware of the situation, and the more and more people even hear about it and look up. You know, most people just don't look up.
Like, exactly, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It is amazing, actually. That's very true. People don't look up. Even in their own cities, when you walk down the street or your own town or your own neighborhood, try looking up, not just at the sky, but up at the roofs and the treetops as you walk. Obviously, you have to watch where you're going to. But
yeah.
It's really amazing what you'll see.
I know. Go ahead,
I'm sorry, Tom. You know what I notice is that when you're walking, if you're looking down, you walk very slow. If you look too high up, you walk real slow. If you look straight, you walk at a normal speed. But when you look at what angle is that? So not straight up, but that would be like 75 or 60 mm-hmm. degree angle you look. And you find yourself walking faster because you're able to see everything, and you can see the sky and the ground at the same time.
Oh, that's interesting. I have to try that.
Yeah. But I remember being in New York, and I was standing outside my building where I used to live in Queens, and this huge fireball goes overhead. There's at least 20 people on the street, and I was the only one who saw it.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all, actually.
I was, you know, I'm asking everybody else, did you see that? Did you see that? No, and then I ran to the street to look to see if I saw it, like if it was crashing somewhere, and it just kept going, and I was like, what was that? But, yeah, so I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, yeah. And with regards to the human collective, I feel that we're coming up to full disclosure with regards to our cousins from other planets and also from other beings within the planet. And that's coming up either this next 12 months or within the next 24 months, definitely. Mm. We'll be seeing the stars.
So you definitely see it happening at least by 2013.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Where are you with the Mayan calendar?
I believe that the shift occurred on October this year,
right.
the final step. And then this coming full year is where it all gels and it all, you know, it's all open. It's like a period of openness where anything is possible at all. And that's full force, full on right now. So it really depends on each individual, what they want to achieve and what they want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. We have the ability to manifest your path in front of you is becoming much more prevalent.
Oh yeah. I mean, we can do that. I mean, that's the new shift. Once we move into fully moving as a collective and as individuals within that into the new paradigm, it is about it being very pliable and very lightweight so that nothing is solid, nothing is like forever, you know. And we don't have to subscribe to fate or what life is meant to be with regards to the programs that we've been given. I've never ever seen, and I have studied religions, and I've studied and practiced different methodologies, and I've looked into history, and I've never seen so many people who have been awake before on the planet at the same time.
Right,
that is very true. I think that's what scares them the most.
They're terrified.
I don't think we've ever gotten to that 100th monkey mark, you know?
Right.
Where it's been unity consciousness throughout the planet. I don't think we've ever been there.
Even on our quote-unquote written history, I don't think we even hit the 10% mark. But I was gonna say something... I know that there's been a lot of people on the internet who've attacked you, and I've been wanting to say this to you, that if you as a listener, you just look at her work and listen to what she says, for me personally, I hear there's something genuine, and I don't see you as, you know, some people claim that you're just there selling snake oil. I don't see it, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, just for me and Tom, you've, and this is off the show, you've helped us so much. I mean, you when you meet somebody, you know, and I've heard this from other people as well, that you really put yourself out there and you really help people. So for those of you, which I doubt that they'll be listening to the show anyway, who would attack her, really...
talking to them.
I appreciate you saying that, but actually I don't have any attention on that at all, because it's really not my responsibility what people think or believe about me, you know. I just have to be myself and I just have to do my job. And whatever or however people react to it, whether it's in a positive way or in a negative way, it's their own projection. I'm not attached to either, actually. I just do. And people will resonate and engage at the level that they need to. And if you think about it, somebody who spends a lot of time and energy trying to attack me, they're actually engaging. And that's a way for Source to get to them somehow, because they're making that connection. person. All I have to do is just stand. I don't defend myself anymore, and I don't attack and I don't invalidate those point of views. I just allow them to be. And with regards to my own websites and my own Facebook page, they're not forums, so anybody who attacks me there, they get deleted, because they're not, that's my house, and those are my online homes, and just like somebody walked into my house and started insulting me, I would show them to the door and say thank you very much, but you're not welcome here. And it's all about what's happening on the planet too. We're saying, no, we don't accept this anymore, but at the same time, we're not attacking, we're not using the same tools and methods that the dark side have used, or the elites have used against us, towards them. We're not killing them, we're not torturing them, and we're not going to, you know. But we're saying, no, that's not allowed here anymore. That's not allowed on the planet anymore. But on a personal level, I have no attachment whatsoever what people think, either positively or negatively, towards Inelia Benz. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Inelia Benz is quite irrelevant. And it's a message that's important. Now, it needed a face, it needed a human, and it needed a name. And I'm willing to do that, but it's really not an issue at all.
Well, yeah, I didn't want to bring up the negative. I just wanted to tell you my appreciation towards your work, and how are you as a regular person that you've interacted with me and Tom, and I just wanted to show that appreciation.
Thank you.
So, what are some of the things you're doing personally? Any talks you're giving soon, or...
Yes, I'm going to be doing another meet and greet in Santa Barbara that I'm going to be putting on the website soon. And mostly I'm trying to get some YouTubes up, or Vimeo videos up with different information that's relevant for this time period, this next year that's coming up. As more and more people wake up, they will be seeing that they can actually manifest their own reality, and some of the things they have to do is process their fears, for example, you know, because the first thing is, oh, you have to be careful of what you think about now, you know, and that's a fear, so you process that fear. The more fears you process, the higher your vibrational level will naturally go, and as the higher your vibrational level goes, the more empowered you are as a person to make all the decisions about your life, how you live your life, what you want in your life, and everything. So, yeah, it's just educational at the moment.
Yeah. Have you had any connections that you've made since the last time we interviewed, connections with our cousins?
No, I haven't actually have direct connections. No, just like the telepathic kind of we're there and we're here, you know, and very much a willingness to work as equals with humanity, because it's like a coming of age for us as a species. And that's why they're willing to be there. It's not about them saving us or anything like that. It's just giving us a hand, and also that also benefits them, because we are part of the same collective. We are very closely related. So anything we do as a species will affect them directly in their species also.
Yeah. So this is a sixth degree of separation on a way bigger scale.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Inelia, thank you so much for taking the time out to come on our show.
Hi, you're welcome.
This special day. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. I love your show.
Yeah, and we want to bring you back on for the first year, Tom, the first show of next year, if that's possible. We'll talk about it off over the email.
That'd be great. Yeah, I look forward to that.
Yeah, we can bring in the New Year's together.
Yeah.
It's 2012. This has flown by.
I know. Yeah.
It's gone already.
Yeah.
crazy fast.
Maybe I'll edit the Prince song. We're going to party like it's 2012.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us and for our anniversary show. Yay, 1 year.
Yeah. And again, congratulations. And I hope the best for the next year for you guys.
Oh, we're going to keep out. We're gonna keep out
there. All right.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Bye.
It's okay. Well, she's such a sweetheart.
Yeah. I mean, such a sweet voice.
So, okay, next we're going to bring in somebody that everybody loves off of our show, and Mr. George Kovasilis here. See if I can get him on.
We'll play some elevated music while. Yeah. But once again, make sure you can give us a call. And I just got rid of the number.
Yeah,
hello.
Well, hi, George.
Good morning, hey, George.
Hello, beautiful people.
George, do you have breakfast ready?
Oh, I've had my breakfast. Thank you very much.
Oh, what about me?
I think you're a couple hours behind him, Ramon.
No, he's an hour ahead of me. It's 10:30 there now, right?
I've got 11 a.m. happening here at the moment.
Oh, it's 11:30. Okay, so you're 2 hours ahead of me.
You mean 11:30.
Phew.
It's like 11 a.m. Yeah. Oh, my God. Time warp. So this year's kind of seemed like a time warp. It's really gone by fast.
Oh, hasn't it? Oh, it's amazing. I was just saying to Cynthia how quick this year has gone. It's, yeah, blink of an eye. We had such a hectic year ourselves with the touring and everything, and my goodness, even since we've been home, you'd expect things to slow down, but it's not what we're experiencing.
Yeah, I understand. Definitely understand. So, George, have anything new in the last couple of months since we saw you?
Yeah, there's a few things new. In the process of writing a book for the first time in my life, and because, you know, I'm not somebody that reads books either. So it is a challenge. But I'm enjoying the challenge. It's lots of fun, and I've got to take the biggest concepts of life that I can access and shrink them down into from, you know, what me and my friends affectionately call super woo, because we're into all that woo-woo stuff. so take super woo and sort of integrate it all down to in a simplistic form that, you know, your friends and your neighbours and your other family members who don't quite have the awareness that we do about things can comprehend. So that's the challenge for me, and it's lots of fun.
That should be like your alter ego. You know, at nighttime you come out and you jump on the roofs and you're super woo. Wear a cape and tights.
Now we got to create a cartoon character, a superhero, super woo-woo.
Hey, I want to take this opportunity to wish you a happy birthday and just acknowledge the fantastic work that you're both doing. It takes courage to step out and put yourself out on a limb, as Shirley MacLaine stated, and it's really wonderful to see people having a go. So it's awesome. And all the guests that have been on tonight, we've been listening, and it's been a great show, really enjoying it.
I mean, you and all the guests, if it wasn't for you guys, I mean, I can only talk to Tom so much. But I mean, it's really about what you guys are doing, because you guys are helping all of us wake up. And I mean, every single one of our guests have put themselves out on a limb, and you've told us plenty of stories. You know, what was the name they used to call you? You
Spaceman.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've really put yourself out on the limb, so thank you. You know, you really make this possible for us to do this.
No dramas at all. It's a pleasure. Yeah.
So, George, we thought we'd open up the phone lines while you were on and take a couple calls if anybody out there wanted to give us a call. Ron, do you got those numbers handy?
Yes. It's
the 800 number. It's 888-429-5471. U.S. and Canada number is 530-413-4520. And if you have to step out a quick second, you can call the number 760-569-7676. Access code 192919. And that you can't call in, but you can listen to the show. So
we have Victoria on line three. Donna, if you want to bring her in.
Hello, Victoria.
Oh.
Hello, how are you? Welcome to the 100th Monkey.
Hey. Hey, this is Victoria from Olympia, and happy, happy anniversary. I love you guys.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Victoria. Do you have a question for George, since we got him on the line here?
Well, when I called, it was a while ago, so I kind of forgot my question. But I do have something that's like, hi, Tom, by the way, and Elizabeth. I do have a question in regards to something that's happened in my family this past week with someone very, very close to me choosing to try to take her life. She did not succeed, but when I first started awakening, I was reading and researching a lot and had read something several years ago about how some people would choose to exit during the shift. Can you guys kind of address that, or do you have any thoughts on that?
George?
That's exactly right. There are people who would choose to leave at this moment in time, and people will leave in various different ways. Some will fall with illnesses and will just choose to have no treatment for them and just go naturally in that respect, what we would deem naturally. And others will choose to what we call commit suicide, and they're pretty much done with this reality. They've ended their journey here. Some will try and attempt it and fail their attempt to leave because their lower ego's had enough, but they've still got work to do here. And sometimes it takes them a little while to realise that they've got their great work to do. And sometimes there's negative energies that try to influence those kinds of souls that are here to do some pretty big things. What might seem insignificant, you know, with the ripple effect ends up being some pretty big things. Eventually. So there's some negative energies that are aware of certain souls that are here to have that kind of effect on this reality. So they will try and influence them to leave so they don't actually have the effect they end up doing. So there's many dynamics to this. It's not just one rule fits all. And some are done and they've got the calling to go back home to their home galactic star system or beyond this galaxy, but the majority of beings, you know, will go back to their star families within this galaxy.
Yeah.
Well, George, in regard to that, so as a family member, I mean, and I realize everyone's got their own journey. I'm very much aware of that, and there's obviously very strong emotional ties. How does one deal with that?
Yeah, that's a really tough question because everybody's circumstances are different. The level of emotional investment you have with this person is something that none of us can really try and grasp. It's each relationship we have with those around us, the dynamics of that are unique to each relationship. So how you feel about this person and what they're doing and how they've gone about it, it's, you know, I really cannot... give you the exact way to go about it, except what I can say is please try to continue to hold on to the bigger picture because as long as you do that, you're coming from a greater awareness, therefore a greater level of wisdom, and you are better equipped and more empowered to help the situation rather than getting caught up into the emotional drama vortex that gets created by it, which is a lower vibration, and limits your awareness and ability to function and think and hold focus properly. So that's one thing if I can share with you is to, you know, try and hold on to that greater awareness as much as you can.
Yeah, and also to add on top of what George said, because she's hit rock bottom, she might be at a point where she's going to have no choice but to wake up, because there's so many of our past guests, our listeners that have been there.
And you and I. The proverbial 2x4 upside the head to snap you out of it and really wake up in the right way, where you are able to create that positive view for the future for yourself, the life view where you know that you continue growing.
Yeah, if she's failed, you know, like George said earlier, she's definitely got a lot more things to do. So this might be a good thing, if I can say that. Because she can start awakening now. So I would say just give her unconditional love and give her space as well.
And to share that information that, you know, to help her to realize that she may want to consider that she's actually here to help. And the wisdom that she's now gained from this experience of, so what you do is you use it to ask her, what can we learn from this experience that you've just gone through, this attempt to leave this reality? And don't, I know I use the word don't, but I recommend not to say take your life, you know, to commit suicide. I'd say just to leave. Because that's the intention behind it. So if we can just keep it more gentle and just say, you know, if you've chosen to leave now and there's beings lining up at the door as long as you can see to try and get just a few seconds in this place, the value of actually being here at this point in time, you know, and trying to and approach it from that manner and say, you know, what can you bring now to the human race? What can you bring that's so valuable? And, you know, if they're still in that emotional trauma, they might say, nothing, I'm done, I'm hopeless, I can't help anyone, I'm pathetic, and, you know, they have all these worthiness issues. No, you've got so much to bring, so much to add, there's so much wisdom, you know, and so much to learn from this experience you just went through. It's of incredible value.
Where's the silver lining? That's the first question I ask whenever I hit a challenge like that. Like last winter, I stepped on my front porch and went down to the bottom step and broke my ankle. First thing I asked myself, okay, where's the silver lining in this?
Mm.
So there's in my personal experience, there's always been a silver lining inside every negative thing or what's perceived as negative thing I've gone through. There has always been a silver lining. It may take a while to see it and to reap the benefits of it, but it is always there.
And I can also recommend a book. We had him on a show, Robert Foreman. He actually attempted suicide, and he was standing on a bridge to jump. And that was the beginning of his awakening. So maybe if she can read somebody who's been through what she's going through at the moment, that would help her. That would help her out. I mean,
yeah, I think I heard that that podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, thank you so much.
And
thank you. I love you guys.
Thank you so much for calling in, Victoria.
Yeah, and we'll be sending lots of love that way.
Love and blessings, Victoria.
Yes. Bye-bye.
So, George, what do you see for our near future, the next year?
Okay, let me look into my shiny, bald, crystalline skull head ball at the moment and see what I can get.
You know, all three of us are bald, right, George?
Hey, we are. Okay.
We should call this the Three Bald Men Show. All right, let's get serious.
Okay. I feel that there's going to be the appearance of things going really bad. I feel that there's the political circumstances, the financial circumstances and what have you, it's going to start looking pretty bad for a while there. For a while, it is. And it'll get to the point where a lot of people just think we're done, we're doomed, all is lost. And but I want to reiterate that it's just an appearance. It's just like, look at the way it is now, the appearance that they're holding, that everything is just still chugging along quite nicely, and all these people in a trance, and there's just a handful of us that really see what's going on. The whole thing's just fallen to pieces. It's kind of like that during the invasion of Iraq. You had that guy standing on the camera, and he's going, oh, no, we're winning the war. We're winning all these battles. And behind him, the American tanks were rolling into the town that he was talking about. So it might be a poor example to use, but that's the point I'm trying to make. It's, you know, it's about them. It's keeping up appearances, and it is going to look like things are not going to be going too well, but keep the faith. And when I say keep the faith, I don't mean that in a religious sense. I mean that in our collective human soul, because we've chosen all this together. And one thing I do know is that this cycle that we're in is coming to an end. And all the lessons that we needed to learn, the relationship that our collective human soul is having with our Earth Mother and the solar system, we are actually in the process of achieving our intended outcome. I do know that. For me, that's an absolute. And to speak from the future, we did it. Well, that's what I said at Aseti at the end, right at the very end. And we were all crying and just feeling the love in the moment. We did it. And I have to go back to that, because that's the way it is for me in my heart and my awareness and the relationship I have with this reality and our Earth Mother and our Father Son.
Was October 28th a pivotal day?
I say it was a pivotal day. I'm not going to say it's the only one or the real big one. For me, the cycle finishes on the first equinox of 2013. I have to stay with that, because that's my knowing, it's my understanding, and it's my deep intuitive feelings of the rhythms of this cycle that I'm incarnate inside of. So that's how I gauge things. My relationship with this reality, that's the foundation of my existence here. So for me, the cycle finishes on the 21st of March, or if you want to call it that, or the first equinox, because that's a natural cycle. It's kind of like you want to celebrate New Year on the 1st of January, for example, but that's not actually when the year starts. The year starts on the 25th of December, because you've got 3 days where the sun stands still and then returns. So New Year's Day is the 25th of December. That's when the year actually begins. So it's interesting that we're in this time matrix, which is offset to the natural cycles. And for me, December 21, 2012 is another very pivotal moment. And so is the equinox of March next year. I think the first equinox is huge, because that to me is the last annual cycle of the great cycle, or the great year as it's known, or the cycle for life eternal as it's known out there in the greater universe, is what we're in. So for me, that's how I feel it and understand it.
So how do you feel about, I kind of see the cycles within the cycles within the cycles. We have our day, year, the decades, centuries, et cetera, et cetera. Then we have our solar system level, we have a cycle of going around the equinox, and then we have a cycle of going completely around the galaxy in 256,000 years. Is that what it is? Something like that.
But then Tom, why don't you tell him your vision? I think your vision sums up what you're trying to say.
Which one?
The one you had with the planet, with the stars all lined up.
Oh. Yeah, so I had yesterday in meditation, I saw a very good visual of, there were three concentric rings, and the center ring was the planet Earth. And there were two bands around the Earth, and that were all just filled with stars. And those two bands were rotating in opposite directions. And I saw sort of an alignment, like a not just
the cycle that we have here or the cycle of the equinox, but I saw a much grander cycle hitting that 12 o'clock mark, like a 64 million year or even something above that hitting the 12 o'clock mark. And yeah. it makes me wonder if the cycle that we're completing right now is of such a huge span of time that it's almost immeasurable.
Yeah, it is. And that's what I've been explaining through my interpretation of the Mayan calendar. And I don't know if you can recall how I explained it there at a SETI. The Mayan calendar has cycles within cycles, and it goes... And it begins with the largest cycle being universal and then goes cosmic and galactic and solar and planetary, and you've got the gestation periods within the planetary cycle. So, and I'm giving you my interpretation of the Mayan calendar. And I'm drawing, my interpretation is I'm drawing on the life I had in Palenque and how we understood it back then. And so we knew back then, and I still know now, that those cycles represent consciousness, and it is consciousness that is closing those cycles, and they all meet at the same point. So you've got a circle within a circle within a circle, but the circumferences of the circle all touch in one location. So all these cycles are closing now, and they're on such a grand scale that one of them's on a universal scale, and the consciousness is our consciousness. It is us when we entered this universe and have taken the journey through this universe. We are winding up our journey in this universe, and we're achieving our intended outcome from when we first entered this universe, whose construct is light. So we came here to learn all about the construct of light, and that's the grand scale of how this is all coming to an end. Massive, massive cycles are closing, not just the processional. And the reason I say it ends on the equinox is because the equinox is when there's perfect balance of light and dark. And so it doesn't end on the 21st of December 2012 because the scales are way out of balance. It's one extreme. You have, in the northern hemisphere, you have the shortest amount of daylight and the maximum amount of darkness. And in the southern hemisphere, you have maximum amount of daylight and shortest amount of darkness. So the scales are way out of balance. So on an equinox, there's equal dark to equal light. It's perfect balance. That's why the equinoxes are considered far more significant than the solstices. But when you put the emphasis on the solstice, it really has to do with more ancient pagan rituals, and which are, I feel, there's more emphasis put on those rituals than the true pagan ones, which go even further back, which were more akin to the equinoxes. As being more important and more significant for various reasons. I'm not saying that the solstices are not important. It's just that when you're looking at it from the point of view of the beginning and ending of cycles, they end on a point of balance, not at a point of imbalance.
Yeah. Really quick before we go off air or go into Brooks's time, I've been seeing a small movement of people who want to change the calendar into what they call the Aquarian calendar, which is very similar to the Mayan calendar in the sense that it has a balanced amount of months, and all the months are the same and the days of the week are the same, but I can't remember the names, but in the calendar it's a clock, and it's also maps out where we are in the same calendar. It maps out where we are in the solar system, where we are in the galaxy. And it has, you know, it can tell you, so we're coming into the Aquarian age, and it maps all that out.
This is called Aquarian calendar, Ramon?
Yes. You can just Google that. Have you heard of that?
No, I've not heard of it. No.
Okay. Some people feel that the Gregorian calendar withholding of the psyche.
If you think about it, calendar that we're under right now is not really, it's not that great. I mean, it doesn't accurately portray life. I mean, it's not symmetrical. It doesn't have the balance. Even the 13-month calendar had more balance into the natural cycles that are here.
You know, yeah. Yeah, I don't resonate with the Gregorian calendar at all, really. I don't. It doesn't feel good to me. And all this 11-11-11 stuff and all that, that was really good. It created some, you know, really good openings and shifts and what have you. I just say to people, don't forget the numbering system that everyone's working off is the matrix, calendrical matrix numbering system that we're inside of. It's part of the time sequence where we're inside of in the matrix. So I try not to give it too much emphasis, but I definitely don't dismiss it as well.
Right. Yeah. Well, that 11-11-11, it gave them a focal point to create a focus, you know, so a catalyst to bring some kind of a unified effort forward.
Yeah, it's been good. No, I felt a shift. I went through a shift myself in these last 2 weeks. For me, I've gone through a huge shift. So I can categorically say that there has been an effect. It's one of the biggest shifts I've ever gone through in my life.
Yeah. I have a real calming effect from it. You know, I feel a real calming effect associated to it.
Yeah, same here. I finally dealt with an energy from Saturn, which was bothering me for a long time. So that was really good to get that out of my system.
Yeah.
Finished with that contract. Yeah.
So we're getting to the top of the hour. Anything, closing statements, anything you want to give us?
Yeah. I say to people, please try and rekindle that relationship with this planet. Because when you do, you can go beyond the drama vortex of the matrix. They're gonna try everything they can to distract you from you. That's the whole aim of the game. They want to distract you from you. And the best thing you can do is to go within yourself, recede into your beingness, and reconnect. Not with the chakra body. You've got to go beyond the chakra body. The rainbow body is, remember, there's the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Be done with the rainbow body so you can get to that pot of gold. You know, over the rainbow, somewhere over the rainbow is a land that I heard of way up high. Get beyond the chakra body, go into your heart center, and get back into singularity and oneness. And please understand that that love that is deep, deep, deep down inside of you, beyond the chakra body, is the real deal. And the chakra body is a fragmented state of being. So please understand that. And look, whichever way anybody chooses to go, it's entirely their choice. But at least we're informing them, because this needs to come out. And, I'll leave it there.
Thank you, George, so much.
Yes.
We really appreciate you making time to come back on the show.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure, and it is an honor. So thank you very much, gentlemen, and good on you, Elizabeth. I can feel your energy quite strongly there too. Proud of you, mate.
Hi, George. I was right here.
Say hi to Cynthia for us.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Cynthia.
So,
hello and goodbye, everyone.
Hi, Cynthia.
Hi.
So, Cynthia and George, I'm gonna meditate here and try to bilocate to have lunch. So, save me a plate just in case.
We'd love that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Don't freak out. Who is that?
Yeah. Okay, guys. Well, I want to thank everybody for listening, and I want to thank all of you for supporting us for the whole last year. It has been quite a ride. I know I have grown quite a bit in the last year, and Ramon also has grown quite a bit in the last year. And we really are very grateful for all you have listened to us and all our guests have given to us. And this is from my heart. I love you guys. Absolutely love you.
Likewise. And the pain you deny, The love you deny is the pain you carry.
And condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance.
Yay! Night night.
Good night, everyone.
Black and white, in the race, it's all you know. We've got to fight, so you must burn.